Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is the Sports Junkies with none of the junkies. Toby Altizer in for the guys today on a holiday, taking you up until 9 o'clock. Then we'll toss it over to Denton Day. Let's take a look at the Commanders season. We talked about what we were confident in, what we weren't confident in. But what would define a successful season for this team? 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. You can tweet at me at Toby_Altizer. What will a successful season look like? You can give me a win-loss record if you like. But outside of that, regardless of what the wins and losses are, if they finish below what you want them to, but this happened, you'll feel like it was a successful season. What does that look like for you? 800-636-1067 if you want to hop in. I think the easy place to start here, and the most obvious, and I think everyone would agree with this, is it's all about Jaden Daniels. It's all about Jaden Daniels. If he can prove that he is the guy and continues to improve throughout the season, you've got to feel like it was a success. Now, you know, if it's a four-win season again, it's going to be difficult. But I think just about every Commanders fan would sign up for another 4-13 season if it meant Jaden proved that he was the guy and continued to get better. And it is possible to have a 4-13 season with Jaden proving he's the guy, whether it's the defense struggles or maybe the weapons aren't enough. But he throws for, let's say, 3,500 yards, rushes for 600-700 yards, and kind of shows some of the progression throughout the season of getting better and improving. I think that's the number one thing. It's going to be all about Jaden, and this goes back to what I was talking about a little bit earlier. That's why I'm a little bit disappointed in what they've got offensively. I'm not particularly worried about it because I think they're going to be able to overcome it with the help of Jaden, but I would have liked to have seen a little more invested in the offensive line, and I could be wrong if Brandon Coleman ends up being a guy, but I would have liked to have seen a better acquisition for left guard, and I'd like to see maybe a little bit more in terms of weapons for the team, especially now that you move on from Dotson. I would have liked to have maybe seen them go find a way to get somebody. I'm not saying Ayuk, but you just would like to see a little more insulation for a quarterback when he's kind of the focus of the year. You know, when I've talked about this all offseason, I like 90 to 95% of what Adam Peters has done. If there was one thing I could change, it would be helping Jaden just a little bit more, because ultimately this whole season is going to be about helping Jaden and proving that Jaden can be the guy. So to me, that's the successful season. Finding a way to have Jaden continue to improve and continue to get better and show that, okay, you found the quarterback. And at least for next year, as it continues to move and move and move, like continue proving you're the guy and continue improving, I think you'll be good with a season where Jaden does that. Secondly, it'd be about the other rookies. Because I think when you look at this team, the building blocks of this team are going to be the rookie class of this year. It seems like just about everybody else has kind of gotten moved on from. You think about some of the other guys that would be considered building blocks, like a Terry. He's only under contract through this season and next. You look at John Allen and Daron Payne, they could move off of one or both of those guys if they wanted to in the upcoming years. So to me, it's all about those rookies showing growth. Obviously, Jaden is number one, but a Mikey Sanra still. Does he show that he can play, which I think he can. I think he's going to be fantastic as well. But does he continue to improve? I think that's a building block type of player. I think a potential with Ben Sinnott could be a potential building block type of player for this offense to go along with Jaden there. Luke McCaffrey, Brandon Coleman, Johnny Newton. when you think about all those guys, if they can kind of prove that they can play and be a difference maker type of player, or even just solid players, those are the sort of building blocks. So I think those sort of guys showing improvement and showing that they can be a player at this level, if they can do that, I think you'll feel like you're having a successful season coming out of it. 800-636-1067. Let's get out to the phone lines. What will define a successful season? Let's get out to Reggie, who is in Reston. Reggie, what's going on?
Good morning.
How's it going, Reggie?
I'm good. For me, I think what would define a successful season is if they could finish right around 500, even if they don't make the playoffs, just show some improvement and that we're heading in the right direction. If you base it on the last few years of what our records look like and the progress we made then, which wasn't a lot. So I think, to me, that would define a successful season, along with what you just said about the growth of some of the younger players that we just drafted to see them get some playing experience this year and how it would help them improve starting next year.
Reggie, appreciate the phone call, man. Yeah, I think it's intriguing because I think it's going to be difficult for fans to say, oh, I'm going to be on board for another 4-13 or a 5-12 sort of season. But to me, I don't know that I'm that worried about the record because of what I laid out with the rookies. I think to me that's the number one thing. If these rookies can go out there and play well, then you'll feel like you're going in the right direction. That said, I mean, if the rookies play well, maybe you do finish somewhere around 500 and maybe above that because, you know, if Sanmer still has proven he can play, maybe he ends up being your top sort of cornerback. Maybe you got Sinnott stepping up into a bigger role than we expected in the season. Maybe McCaffrey steps up and he's a number three, number two type of receiver down the stretch. Johnny Newton shows that now you don't just have two stud D tackles, you've got three. So, and Brandon Coleman, maybe he shows that he can be not just a solid and starting caliber left tackle, but a good left tackle. So there's a chance that if those guys all show some progress and those things are going in the right direction, that, yeah, maybe they could finish at 500. I just, for me, there's definitely a route where they don't have the best record and they're picking inside the top 10, top 8 again in next year's draft, and I still feel like it was a successful season. Most of it's going to come down to number 5, but also the rookies around him, I think, will be intriguing as well. Let's get out to Lucas in Hagerstown. Lucas, what's going on?
So thanks for taking my call. Appreciate you. I'm really kind of agreeing with everything you're saying. I'm not as worried about the record. I think they will probably be like 7-10, but I think the most important thing is if they're competitive in every game. Because if they're competitive in every game, then that just slowly, like you broke it down a lot more in depth. That means Jaden Daniels is half season. And so then Dan Quinn and Adam Peters can have a whole year to look at it. And maybe we just need a couple pieces here and there to get to that 500 next year and stuff like that. So I just kind of want to see them compete and be in. If they're in every game, I think that's a successful year.
Lucas, appreciate the phone call. I think that's a great point right there. You know, if they're competitive in every game, I think you can live with, honestly, whatever the record comes out to be. If they're in every single ball game where they're competing against the good teams and hopefully beating the bad teams, but if they're in every single ball game, I think that shows that you're going in the right direction and that shows some of that progress that, and I think a lot of this fan base is hoping for. And I think, you know, if they can find a way to be competitive as well, that's also a good thing for this football team going forward. And I mean, heck, you've seen people try and throw out that this Commanders team could be the Texans of last year with Jaden Daniels. You know, if they're in competitive in ball games early on, that gives them confidence going down the stretch that they can win some of those, and maybe they could end up being in that sort of direction. So we'll see. But I think that's a really good point. Being competitive in every ball game is maybe more so important than wins and losses in terms of that. Let's get out to Gus in Arlington. Gus, what's going on?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I mean, I want three things. I want a top half of the league rushing offense, top half of the league defensive DVOA, and I want Jaden Daniels to have a 3-2 touchdown turnover ratio. You know, I think it's okay that he makes mistakes, but I want him to learn from them. And I think we can trust that he will because it looks like he's such a student of the game. And so, everyone says, like, you know, just be competitive, but, you know, really be competitive at the end of the season, more so at the beginning of the season, showing there's a, you know, progression.
Yeah, I like that, Gus. Appreciate the phone call. I like the top half of the league rushing attack. I think that makes a lot of sense because that's taking a little bit off of Jaden's plate. I definitely want to see an improved defense. I definitely want to see that. But I think the Jaden thing is interesting because I'm trying to see if I can find where I had what my previous notes were of what I had put together as expectations for Jaden. I don't know that I'm going to be able to find them, but I think I can rattle off what I had. I think it was somewhere around, oh, here we go, what I'd be happy with for Jaden. This is from a while ago. This is from May. 3,200 to 3,400 yards, 20 passing touchdowns, 12 picks or fewer. And so he said a 3-2 ratio. It's somewhere around there. I would almost hope for a 2-1. Because to me, when you look at Jaden, he feels like a guy that, well, it's something that's really impressed me, honestly, out at practice, is he does not put the ball in harm's way. I would not be shocked at all if you see, you know, fewer interceptions that fumbles almost. Because, you know, he's going to get strip sacked or he's going to run and get hit or something like that. I would not be almost shocked if you see a shockingly low number of interceptions for a rookie. And we're going up against, you're talking about going up against BSJ and Emmanuel Forbes and those guys in practice, and we're talking about questioning the secondary. So I understand that some of that's going to change when you've got real bullets flying of, you know, real defense with real talent, like, you know, what you've got in Philadelphia or you've got in Dallas or one of those really, really good secondaries. So I'm interested with that. I'd almost think a 2-1 is a better, but I think a 3-2 being conservative makes some sense. I'm curious, though. This is back from May, Max. Like I said, if he finished 3,200, 3,400 yards passing, 20 touchdowns, 12 or fewer picks. For me, I said rushing stats, I don't really care as long as he stays healthy. That could be 800 yards. That could be 200 yards. I really don't care. Do I need to adjust that, or is that still kind of accurate where it's at?
No, I think because I think I was the one actually in doing the producing for the Memorial Day show where we talked about this, and I think you're pretty spot on with everything. Like, 2-1 touchdown interception ratio is what I'm looking for as opposed to a 3-2. I think he can absolutely blow past 3,000 yards, with like even with the receiving core he has, just because his ball placement is so ridiculous. I think these are great like predictions for Jaden this year. I think this is a good number.
Yeah, and I mean, just to give you like some context, in 15 games as a rookie, RG3 had 3,200 passing yards, completed 65.6% of his passes, 20 touchdowns, 5 picks. He ran for 815 yards and 7 touchdowns. I don't know that Jaden is going to have that many rushing yards like RG3 had, because RG3 was very dependent on the run game. I think Jaden is a light years better passer coming into the league than what RG3 was. So, I mean, you think, let's hope he can play all 17 games. And if he does, 200 yards a game is 3,400 yards. I think he could end up well past that if he's going to play every single game. 20 touchdowns just being conservative. I don't know. I think you could see him blow past all those numbers, but I think, you know, if you set that as an expectation and he blows past it, that's great. I think the big thing for me when I talk about those rushing yards, I just want them to make sure that he takes care of himself. And some of the stuff that we saw out of practice, I was not a huge fan of. I have no issue with him running a read option and getting to the outside the numbers and running up to the sideline like you saw with RG3 against the Vikings, where, you know, even if he was going to get hit, he was going to be out of bounds or he could step out, or it wasn't going to hopefully be a massive hit and not from a massive human being. Whereas dudes running up the middle, it's a little dicey. And there was a couple times you'd see Jaden run the ball up the middle. And not to say that he can't do that, but you'd like to see him be able to protect himself. And when you go up the middle where you've got linebackers and you've got defensive linemen retracing their steps, it's a little bit worrying for Jaden. I'm not as worried about the size. I'm glad we haven't necessarily heard that as much recently, because when you see Jaden in person, he's small, but he's not like jarringly small like you would say maybe a guy like Emmanuel Forbes is. But he definitely needs to be able to take care of himself. And I think he will slide. I think he understands some of these things. And, you know, even the hit that he took in the final preseason game that he played in, you know, he's not getting hit there. He's not getting lit up. But also, I didn't love that he's like, oh, I didn't think there was anyone there. I need you hyper aware when you run of where everyone is at. Similar to what I've laid out before, that Lamar kind of knows where everyone's at because he's running in third gear, you know? Not to say that you should never run full outs, but I'd rather you give up an extra 5 or 8 yards to make sure you get down. You know, assuming you've reached the first down marker and you've gotten what you need, just get down. Don't put yourself in danger of getting hit, because he's so important to this football team. You know, I know a lot of people were looking at, like, why the heck are they keep Mariota? I think that's a ridiculous thing to bring up, but I also don't want to ever see Mariota on the field. Like, I think Mariota is valuable as a backup to help Jaden through his first year as a NFL quarterback. I don't think he'd be very valuable on the field as an NFL quarterback. I would prefer him not to take a snap unless it's to go in victory formation because the Commanders are up by 3 touchdowns or something of that. I just don't see that happening very often. So I don't want to see Marcus Mariota, but they've got to make sure they take care of Jaden. Let's get out to Tim, who is in Maryland. Tim, what's going on?
Yes, hi. Good morning. I just want to say that I believe that successful for me is a coaching staff that looks competent. I think, you know, we need a staff that looks like coming next year, we know what they are capable of doing, that we don't go in next year wondering, well, maybe we're not working together, maybe our coaches are not as good as we think. In the past several years, under the previous seasons, I never had a real good confidence that the coaching staff actually knew what the heck they were doing at times. Individually, you may have had coaches that were very good, but I want a staff that is in sync with each other. I want a staff that doesn't fall off the bike at the 20-yard line and, like, panics and doesn't know what to do, or we have to settle for a field goal because we didn't get the play in on time or something. I want a staff that looks like going forward, they know what the heck they are doing. That makes it successful for me. Thank you.
Tim, appreciate the phone call. I think that's a great point. I think when you go in tandem with what I laid out in terms of seeing some growth from the players, I think seeing a competent coaching staff adds on to that as well. I think that is important. Does Cliff Kingsbury show that he can be an NFL coordinator again, and he can call plays at this level again, and he can be successful throughout the season and run a good operation with that offense? Does the defense show that with Dan Quinn and Joe Witt Jr., and specifically Joe Witt, that they're getting everything called in and they're working their operation well? And, you know, you heard from guys last year that the messaging from one coach to the next wasn't the same. I think it's a good point, once again, that you want to hear that consistent messaging from all their guys, so that if they want to play this specific coverage this way, that you're hearing that from every single coach, not differently from one guy to the next. And I think so far, they haven't played a game yet, but so far it seems like everyone's talked about that messaging being much more consistent and coherent, and that chemistry being much better among the coaching staff this year than it was last year. So I think that's a really good point, because if you combine both a good growth from the rookies and a growth from the coaching staff that you feel like they're competent and can do what they want and can do what they need to do, then you'll feel like it is a successful season, because you'll feel like you can build off of that. But if either one of those things is missing, then you've got some work to do. Let's take a break. When we come back, got a couple more things that I want to talk about that I think would constitute a successful season for the Commanders. You also can hop in as well if you'd like. 800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. I'm Toby Altizer, in for the Junks today here on Labor Day.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Toby Altizer in for the Junkies today, taking you up until 9 o'clock. Then we'll turn it over to Denton Day. Football season is here. The Commanders set to open their season on Sunday. When it's all said and done, what will define a successful season for this team? 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. You can also tweet at me at Toby_Altizer. Gus Buzz tweeted at me and said he wanted to clarify on the 3-2 touchdown to turnover ratio. He's also including fumbles lost and rushing touchdowns. So C.J. Stroud last year had 23 passing touchdowns, 3 rushing, 5 interceptions, 7 lost fumbles. So 26-12 ratio there. So still 2-1. I think that's solid. I think that makes sense. So we'll see what Jaden can do. But I think a big thing for me is I want to see it carry over to the game field that he can avoid interceptions, because that's something that was big and probably the most impressive thing that I saw from him out at camp was his ability to just never have the ball be in harm's way. Some of the other things that would define a successful season to me: improved offensive line play, just overall, regardless of who is out there, but improvement on the offensive line so that you feel like you've got some pieces and things are going in the right direction. And I think you will see improved O-line play, but I think overall you just want to see enough that you're protecting Jaden. I think you'll see it improved for a number of reasons. One, I think that Coleman can play left tackle. That's still a question mark. But I think Jaden's going to help the O-line a lot more than what Sam Howell did. And I think that Cliff Kingsbury is going to help the offensive line a whole lot more than Eric Bieniemy. So regardless of getting into the individual players on the offensive line and how they'll play, I think just as a unit, they'll be helped more so by Jaden and by Cliff. And in turn, I think that offensive line is going to improve because of it. Another thing I want to see go into the defense, I want to see cohesion on that defensive side of the ball. Chemistry, cohesion. It seems like we haven't seen that. And so I talked a little bit earlier about being a little bit wary and not super confident in the pass coverage. I want to see a marriage of that back end and front end. And so if it means that they want to be aggressive and that doesn't necessarily fit with what the back end is able to do, then just finding a way to make sure that what they're going to do is going to work, where that back end can hold up enough that they can be aggressive up front. And just having some of that cohesion that it doesn't feel like you've seen from this team defensively in the past. I want to see a consistent pass rush. How are they going to create that pressure? This comes back to the John Allen and Daron Payne thing we were talking about as well. Those guys are going to have to be a driving force for these sorts of things. So I want to see a consistent pass rush to go along with a good back end. I want to see better communication in the secondary. I think if you get those sorts of things on the defense, more so than individual players, I think you can feel good about this season and that you're going in the right direction defensively. Cohesion, where you're marrying the front end with the back end, you're getting a more consistent rush. And I think they're going to get a more consistent rush because I think they're going to be more aggressive blitzing. And so finding ways to make sure you're just constantly getting pressure on the quarterback, whether that's having to bring a guy or not, it's just finding different ways, getting creative and finding ways to make sure that, you know, at times it just felt like the pass rush was non-existent. And you don't want that. You don't want a quarterback just getting comfortable back there all day to dice up your defense, especially with a secondary that has some issues in terms of personnel maybe not being as good as you'd like. So I think getting a consistent rush will be important. And then better communication in the secondary is a huge thing. It's something that we've seen for far too long at the Burgundy and Gold, is just bad communication on the back end leading to coverage busts where dudes are just running wide open. It seemed like under Del Rio, it was at least once a game. You didn't know when it was going to come up, but once a game, someone was going to get open for a long touchdown. And it was going to be because someone was not in the right spot. Someone didn't carry someone deep enough. Someone didn't do this. They were running the wrong coverage. And dudes are just wide open. And it was guys that you should be game planning around, like Cooper Kupps and those sorts of players that are just wide open. And you can take a screenshot of when they catch the football, and you're searching to find a player on defense around them. You cannot continue to have that. So I want to see better communication in the secondary. And I think when you work together with all those things defensively, I think that'll go back to the coaching thing that we talked about a little bit earlier, where you want to see more competent coaching. and some of these rookies stepping up and playing big spots. I think Sanra still is going to play a big role in this team this year. So I think when you look at all those things, to me, Jaden Daniels and the rookies having a standout season and showing growth throughout the year, having improved offensive line play, and then defensively seeing a more cohesive unit with a consistent pass rush and better communication on the back end, those things, to me, would define a successful season. What say you, 800-636-1067, if you want to hop in on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. Let's get out to Mike in Fairfax. Mike, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, man? Good show, buddy. Great show. You obviously hit on all the points here, but I think a successful season is going to be if they – this is very simple, but if they win at least half the games, maybe a couple more, I'll be more than satisfied. And also, Jaden, I want to see how he looks, how comfortable he is in the pocket behind that line. I want to make sure that he does not get hurt. If he doesn't get hurt this season, it's a success. I also want to see consistency with, as you said, the secondary's been terrible. I mean, just on and off. I want to make sure that the outside linebackers on defense, obviously, are consistent. They can handle the wide receivers that are out there. The front line, obviously, Robinson is he's good. I'm sure he'll be fine. But the main thing is let's get at least half the wins there and make sure Jane's healthy. And the main thing is consistency. We have the coaching now, I think. I really do. But I just want to see them progress. If we see some progression, then I'll be satisfied without question.
Appreciate it, Mike. Yeah, and I think the tough part is there. You know, throwing a win total on it is difficult because I think you can see progression from Jaden and it still be a 5-6 win season. I just don't think this roster is particularly good. I don't think it's wrong that, you know, the way that Adam Peters has done it. I don't think there's any problem there. I just don't know that the roster itself is a, you know, above 500 sort of roster. And when you think about depending on a lot of rookies, specifically at the quarterback position, what if it takes Jaden 4 or 5 games to kind of get into a bit of a rhythm? If that's the case, then maybe they get off to a slow start and they get things going in the second half. And maybe they only end up with 5 or 6 wins. I think it still would be considered successful if he started off slow and then he gets things going and shows in the second half of the year that he's the guy. I think that'd still be successful even as a 5 or 6 win season. So to me, I think that's the big thing. What are your expectations though, Max? Like for the season, like win total, some of the player expectations. To me, I think 7 or 8 wins.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think this goes in line with a lot of people saying 500. I think that's totally fine. And, you know, if you want to say if they're not going to reach that 500 mark that you didn't necessarily feel successful in this season, then I'm fine with that. But I think, you know, if they finish with 7 wins or maybe even a few, like 6 wins, I would be fine with it. I do want to see improvement, though. I don't want to see another 4-win season. But it kind of all goes back to Jaden. Like, they could win 2 games. And if Jaden proves he's the guy, I'm fine.
Right.
So that's the big thing for me.
It's, you're right. Like, I'm with you on the 7 or 8 wins thing. Like, that's, I would like to see an improvement. I would like to see at least 3 games worth of improvement from this team because I feel like that's at least what Adam Peters has done. He's raised the floor of this team from 4 wins to 7 wins, I feel like. So that's the first thing I want to see. If we were around 6, like that's fine. Now, there's a lot of nuance to the rest of the season. That's just kind of how it goes. But position-wise, I would like to see our corners step up. I don't think that'll happen, but, I mean, we'll finally get a definitive answer on who's a starter and who's not.
Okay, so one thing that I like about the corners, since you bring them up,
mm-hmm.
is I don't know that they were put in good spots to succeed previously.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to be put in better spots. Now, they're going to have to take advantage of that, but some examples of that. Benjamin St. Juice, they tried to play him in the slot. Dude can't play the slot.
Didn't work.
He's not a slot corner.
And now we have a slot corner.
But he was never going to be a slot corner.
Right.
I don't know why they thought he could play in there. He's someone that, when you look at him, he's an outside corner. He's long and lanky. He's got good straight line speed, but because of his size, he's not good with a two-way go. That was never going to be the case. And so if you needed enough proof of that, go watch back one-on-one reps Baltimore joint practice last year. Zay Flowers ran a whip route, and Benjamin St. Juice needed a map. Like, it's just, He was never going to be a slot corner, so they're not going to play him there. He's going to be put in a better spot to succeed on the outside like he should be and should have been all along. Emmanuel Forbes, I'm praying, I would hope, that this goes back to the competent coaching thing, is not going to be stuck one-on-one with A.J. Brown. He's not going to be stuck one-on-one with those sorts of players. We'll see if he can, you know, take a big step forward from last year and show that he's a NFL-caliber corner. But I also think they're going to put them in better spots because I don't think Forbes is a slot corner. I don't think that St. Juice is a slot corner. And I don't think that they're going to put Forbes on these top receivers. And part of the reason is you brought in Sam Ristill too. Sam Ristill's a slot corner who I think is going to excel in those situations. And I think once you put these guys in better spots, it's their chance to shine. You know, when you put a guy that just doesn't work in that spot in the wrong spot, of course they're going to look bad. You know how many players are like this is what the Patriots did for years. They put average to slightly above average guys in opportune spots for them to succeed where they maximize their skill sets, and that's how they did so well. They didn't ask Julian Edelman to be the deep threat on the outside. They put him in the slot and let him work. That's something that hasn't happened here in a long time. Specifically on defense. They just didn't put guys in opportune spots. And so I'm intrigued to see if they're going to do that, which I think they will. I mean, it's as simple as you want to know if they're putting their guys in good spots or not. If Frankie Louvu is dropping back in coverage 90% of the time, then they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. That's not why they brought him in. That's my point, though. If they can find a way to put these guys in opportune spots, it's a chance for these guys to really shine. And then if they still come up short, then it's a talent issue or a fit issue. It's not as much a coaching issue, which it has been here for so long.
Yeah, I want to see from them more than anything is fitting the scheme to the roster, not trying to fit the roster into the scheme. And that I think is what's going to breed a successful season.
Yeah, and that's an intriguing part too, is I think with some of the flexibility that they have with the cap space and the way that they're going to build this roster. You know, I think they can build it to the scheme, too. You know, I generally agree with you that I think I would prefer to see them build their scheme around what they have, but they can also, in a lot of ways, like a college team, kind of build to what their scheme is going to be. And so I'm intrigued by what they're going to be able to do with it. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll hear a little bit of what's coming up with Denton Day and get you set for what he's got coming up at 9 o'clock, as well as wrapping up with some more Commanders talk here on the Sports Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back. It's the Sports Junkies. Toby Altizer in for the Junks today, taking you up until 9 o'clock. And then we're going to turn it over to Denton Day, and he joins us now to get you set for what's coming up at 9 o'clock. Denton, what's going on, dude?
Toby, how are you doing, man? Long weekend, but not for us.
Yeah, well, Labor Day, as in we do the labor, right? Is that how it works?
That's how that goes.
What did you think of college football this weekend? I know you're a big college guy, and some of the games this weekend were fantastic.
It was great to have it back. Obviously, week one, you get a lot of blowouts. That's just natural. You know, you got Alabama playing who knows where, and Ohio State playing like Akron was not. But the Tech-Vanderbilt game was a lot of fun. Notre Dame and A&M was, I thought, was really, really good. And then last night was awesome. That was probably the best game of the week for me.
Last night was cool because when you think about those teams, you think explosive offense, mm-hmm. mobile quarterback, no defense.
Right.
And somehow we got legit defense, we got pocket passers,
yeah.
and we got a reasonable score.
And strong running game. You're yeah. like, wait a second, these guys are running the football? It was really great because I think it was the one game where I actually liked both quarterbacks
mm-hmm.
and like trusted both quarterbacks, because the kind of general theme for week one for me was that, like, there's not a lot of quarterbacks that I love right now in college football. Like, I could probably count all the ones on – I might have to do more than just one hand, but you get the idea. Like, there's really not a lot that you're like, I think this guy can go and lead an 11-win team. But it felt like last night was maybe not that guys are going to lead 11-win seasons, but, like, these guys are good, and they're throwing the ball, and they look confident, so it was fun to watch.
Who do you think showed the most in week one?
I was really surprised, really pleasantly surprised with what he did and what Penn State's offense looked like, because for years we had been watching a James Franklin offense that was kind of boring when it came to passing the ball. And it's not like they did anything incredibly dynamic per se, but like all of the issues that Drew Aller had last year in terms of not throwing with anticipation, not throwing accurately, not throwing with touch. All of that was wiped away on Saturday. He showed all of it, so it was really fun to watch him.
Yeah, I'm intrigued. I mean, it seems like with Penn State, we've been waiting. It seems like they've been right there for a long time, but I'd be intrigued to see what they can do. How about some of the standout performances? I got to see Ashton Jeanty play in high school down at Lone Star in Frisco, and he was spectacular. Is he the best back in the country?
He definitely had the best performance in the country, that's for sure. I mean, you go for nearly 300 yards and six tutties. I don't care who you're doing it against. That's pretty impressive for a running back. I think he's in the conversation. I don't love the conversation of Heisman Trophy candidates week one.
Yeah.
However, if you're going for 300 yards and six touchdowns against a non-FCS team, I feel like you deserve to be at least mentioned in that. So I think he was awesome. He's going to be fun to watch. In terms of like the best running back, I still think it's Ollie Gordon at Oklahoma State. But there's a lot of really good, like Quinshon Judkins is really good. Yeah. There's a lot of really good running backs.
Ohio State has two of them.
Yeah, Ohio State has two. They are loaded at running back, and they finally got an offensive coordinator, an offensive play caller that is going to run because he wants to, not because it feels like he's forced to.
Well, and the crazy part is they've got another stud receiver coming in as a true freshman. What's his name, Jeremiah?
Jeremiah Smith. It's not fair. It's just
incredible.
Every single year, it's like this new. I hate generational talent in college football because a generation is technically 10 years. But, like, damn, they push it. It's every single year. It's just because, like, Mbuka, who's their current wide receiver one, he's also really good. And he's going to get drafted in the first round. So it's unfair the way they pump out receivers.
Well, and then speaking of receiver, last night, Kyron Lacy, he was kind of the third fiddle to Neighbors and Brian Thomas last year. He looked really, really good.
He looked really good for one half, and then LSU forgot about him. I don't know what happened. They just stopped throwing to him. Like, he was dominating the first half, and then Brian Kelly was like, let's not throw to him anymore.
What do you think about McMillan out of Arizona, wide receiver? He had 10 receptions, 304 yards, 4 touchdowns.
That game was a track meet, bro. That game was I was watching when I was doing my show on Sirius, and I was like, I don't know how I want to, like, tackle this game. You know, we got to be careful with how you talk about it because we replay. But I'm watching this game, and I'm just like, New Mexico State is giving it to him, but Arizona has offense. Like, it's just offense on offense on offense, and I'm like, this is going to be crazy. The Big 12 is going to be nuts, dude. It's so many teams, because I like Arizona out of that conference. I think I had Oklahoma State winning, but I like Arizona out of the conference. There's just so many teams that have so many high-powered weapons. It's going to be awesome once conference play starts.
Yeah, I'm excited. College football, I think, is going to be a lot of fun. As much as some of the craziness with the transfer portal and NIL and stuff, I think it does add a little bit of parity where, you know, I don't know that is there a dominant team?
Probably Georgia. The thing with the transfer portal is, though, like, it's a pain in September. And then once you get to October, you kind of forget, like, oh, this guy, like, you're just watching and you're locked in because now you're 4 weeks, 5 weeks into the season. So I think most people who are, like, anti-college because of the transfer portal, by the time you get into October and you get, like, Ohio, like, if you're not watching Ohio State and Oregon because Dylan Gabriel went to the transfer portal, that's on you. Like, you can go pout on Twitter somewhere, but I'm going to be watching that game because it's going to be awesome.
Well, and I don't want to steal your entire show here, but how the heck did Gabriel put up the numbers that he did and they barely won?
That game was rough. That game was, they executed very poorly on offense. It was a lot of what, like, LSU did in the second half, where they just get themselves down the field but not close enough to kick a field goal, and then they stall on third downs. It was just a whole lot of that. I mean, the fact this dude threw 49 times against Idaho is baffling. They should have hung 60 on him.
Yeah, no doubt. What do you got coming up at 9 o'clock?
So we're going to talk a little bit about college football. We got Ben Standing going to join us at 11 a.m., and then we'll talk a little bit of gambling with P.J. Glasser, who will be with us in studio at 11:25-ish. Depends how long ago, Ben. PJ can be flexible, but he's going to join us. And then, of course, we're talking Commanders, baby. It's like, it's game week.
Mm-hmm.
We finally get to, like, be excited and not dive, like, way too deep into preseason reps in the third quarter. I'm excited to talk about real NFL football, so that we'll have a lot of that.
Excited about it, man. That's Denton Day. I'm Toby Altizer. Appreciate you guys hanging out. Denton Day is going to take over coming up at 9 o'clock. We're in for the Sports Junkies. Keep it tuned right here, 106.7 The Fan.